welcome along to this week's roundup. Unfortunately, AJ couldn't join us this week. She had to make the dinner. Or I don't know. That's what she said to me. She had to make the dinner. So, stepping into the seat, a replacement, a very beautiful, voluptuous, wonderful, amazing, gorgeous woman. Now, you're probably saying, Niall, how can you say that? Your wife will murder you if she hears you say that. Well, that's because it is my wife, so I'm allowed to say that. Karen, hi.
Hi, darling. I better not say that.
No, you can't say
that. I'm not allowed to say that.
You can't say darling.
Okay.
That just sounds too familiar, doesn't it?
Let's go again. Okay, that's so unprofessional, Niall.
And see, nobody's ever heard you before.
Right.
Yeah. You're all very silent. Nobody ever hears you. You're like the person in the background.
You would, wouldn't you?
Right. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the stories from around the world. And of course, a lot of them we kind of talked about on the show during the week, but I suppose looking at another aspect of it. And Donald Trump is one of the ones that we talked about early in the week. And he had said, well, verified last weekend on July 5th, or July 4th, should I say, that he was going to come to Ireland. Now, he had said in the past that he was going to come to Ireland, but this time he kind of verified it and said, I'll more than likely definitely be there for the Irish Open. Micheál Martin said he might meet up and shake his hand or something. I don't know what he said. It was something quite innocuous. But, you know, should he be invited for a state visit? And I'm looking, you know, Sinn Féin said, no, we'll probably be part of the protest. We won't be part of the welcoming committee. And I'm pretty certain that the Sock Dems, Labour and People Before Profit will all be there. They won't be waving American flags. They might be waving Palestinian flags or something like that. I don't know what they'll be waving. Mm. But I'm assuming, look, actually, I know you'll be the first in the queue to shake his hand, won't you?
I will indeed. If he comes over and I'm fortunate enough to have an invitation to meet him, I certainly will shake his hand. As you know, I'm a huge fan of Donald Trump, and I have been since around 2014.
Mm. And what is it about him?
I admire his honesty. I think he's a fantastic businessman. I have a business background, as you know, so I suppose I understand him. He knows how to run a country like a business, which is extremely important. The recklessness that's going on in Ireland at the moment, they could learn a thing or two from Donald Trump.
Mm. And do you think he's charismatic? He's a bit old, in fairness, isn't he?
Charismatic.
He's a bit crugly.
He's almost
like
as charismatic as yourself.
Ah, he's a bit old. No, he's not. I'm not as old as him. How old is he? 80? Is he 80?
There, I think last week, you know. Right. But he sent a nice video message there to the Irish ambassador for the 4th of July celebrations here in Ireland.
Mm.
And that's when he indicated that he should come over maybe in September, you know, so that'll be great.
Mm.
Now, the likes of those comments from, let's say, Sinn Féin and whatever, they're not helpful. I know that the Sock Dems, they passed comment and said that they, I'm just trying to remember actually exactly what they said here. But
I have the comments. Okay. Keith O'Callaghan, TD from the Social Democrats, described Trump as the worst possible representation of the states.
Yeah, well, that's not helpful
It's nonsense. It's not democratic. I mean, over 50% of the population of America voted for the man, so that's democracy.
Yeah.
These people don't respect democracy, obviously.
No, definitely not. No. Mm-hmm. I mean, the man has at least 50% of the US vote. And I'm just hazarding, that's an estimated guess. He has about 50% of the country on his side.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Do you think he's lost a bit of popularity? I mean, the whatever
since
about Venezuela, Iran, whatever, Venezuela, fine, most people could live with that. But do you think, you know, that he kind of misjudged the whole Iran thing? Look, as we all know, it's kind of kicked off again now.
I do. I think he did misjudge Iran ever so slightly. You know, it's going on a hell of a lot longer than I think he actually thought he'd be in and out in the weekend and that'd be it. Bob's your uncle. But he wasn't.
Fanny's your aunt.
Yeah. And we could elaborate on that, but I won't.
But nowadays, anything goes. Seemingly, Fanny can be your aunt.
Well,
or Bob can be your aunt.
We'll get to that later. Jesus, we've enough of that as it is.
We don't
any more of that carry on. I think we had a complaint about that recently, didn't we?
Yeah. Snip, snip here, snip, snip there. Bob's your auntie.
Yeah. Well, no, thank you very much indeed. I did think he kind of misjudged slightly time-wise. You know, I genuinely think he would have been in and out in a couple of days. And then that'd be the end of that and he'd be the hero again, you know. We visited the States in or around the March time, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the fuel price as it was then and it just jumped.
Yeah.
And then we came home to an even higher jump once this set off, you know.
Well, there's no one to blame for the fuel increases more than Donald Trump right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously he's destabilised the world financially and destabilised the supply of oil. Now, we thought it was going to get back to somewhat normality when he said there was a ceasefire and the Strait of Hormuz would be open again. But it seems that's gone into reverse now. And obviously they're, you know, bombarding Iran again with missiles over the last two nights.
I think Donald Trump is very much misunderstood. I really do. I know he is.
Don't be giving you're making too many excuses for him.
I'm not.
I know you love him and everything else, but yeah, but don't make too many excuses for him.
As one would, without sounding unprofessional about it. No, I mean, listen, I'm a huge fan of Donald Trump, but that's mainly down to the fact that I admire his business acumen. You know, now people might criticize me for saying that now because they'll call him all sorts of, you know, what we did this and he did that, you know, and all the rest of it. But he knows how to get things done. He doesn't suffer fools gladly, and he knows how to run a country. Now, let's be honest about it. The good outweighs the bad with Donald Trump. You know, I wish we had the half of it here in Ireland.
Well, I don't think we'd have half the problems that we have if we did actually have somebody who had leadership.
I mean,
all right.
pick any section of society and he'll get it done.
Okay, well, I suppose if we had somebody better here, we may not have a cost of living crisis the way we do. And I spoke to Pat O'Tobin during the week in relation to the cost of living. And the cost of fuel, of course, as well. A lot of that in Ireland is to do with taxes. We have the highest energy costs, second highest in the world, highest in the EU. And obviously the cost of living is rising and rising and rising, and people can't keep up with it. I mean, where do you think that's going to go? Do you think that's ever going to stop, or is it just going to keep going until we all die?
It's reckless again. It's the one word that keeps coming to mind. Until we have somebody who's running the country who actually knows what they're doing, the recklessness will continue.
Is there any of them that know what they're doing? Micheál, Simon.
Do you know, the only one I probably would have given any sort of kudos to was Pascal Donoghue before he left.
So you like Pascal, do you? You like Pascal Donoghue?
Well, listen, I don't like any of them, if the truth be known. Right. I mean, there's very few.
Is any of them good looking, in fairness?
Well, it's not about their looks, though.
I know, I'm only asking, like, since you're a woman.
What do you mean, seeing him as a woman?
Like, are any of them good looking? Is Simon Harris good looking
as
a man? Because I wouldn't know, I'm not gay, so I haven't got a clue.
Oh, Jesus.
Like Micheál Martin, if he was the last man in the world, and you were on a desert island, or would you rather eat the sand?
Now, listen, sand can be very tasty, I believe.
Right. I mean, actually, now that we're slagging them, right?
Are we allowed to slag them?
Yeah, of course we're allowed to slag them.
Oh, here.
So now we're slagging them, right? Okay, jeez. So I was thinking, there was a topic during the week which was really interesting. And this is in relation to female politicians. And we spoke to Senator Sharon Keogh, and we also spoke to Gardaí Leader.
Yeah.
About this idea that female politicians are saying that, oh, they don't want to be female politicians because they're afraid because they get abused. And allegedly 96% of female politicians responded to research saying they'd been sexually harassed or got hatred. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a nonsense survey, by the way, because only something like 27 actually responded to the actual survey.
And that 27 represents 96% of how many?
I don't know.
75 or something like that?
Yeah, 75.
So it was a ridiculous, it was an absolutely ridiculous survey.
Yeah.
It wasn't even worth mentioning.
No, it's not even true. But here's the thing, right? There's no doubt that females get an extra little bit of harassment because nobody comments. Like if Simon Harris says something, they all call him a gobshite or a clown or whatever it is, right? But if a female politician says something, they'll call her a gobshite and a clown and look at the state of her dress.
Well, that's not on.
They do comment on their appearance.
Okay, so I think the belief is that there's more pressure on a female to look her best while performing in her job.
And who puts that pressure on her, men or women?
Well, I reckon probably a lot of the time themselves. I mean, I don't mean to be rude or anything like that, okay? But two people who come to mind with the dress sense, you'll have to help me out on their names here, but one of them has long white hair. And he used to be an MEP. And
Mick Wallace.
And the other one is Claire Daly. Now, these are two very, very left-wing politicians. But I actually quite like Claire. I've met her in person and I get on really, really well with her. I think she's a lovely lady. But I just don't agree with any of her politics at all. Mm. And that's the way it is, you know.
Yeah, and they don't go out of their way to dress up.
No, I mean, people used to slag Simon Harris all the time, especially when he was a bit younger.
I would slag Mick Wallace, and people did slag Mick Wallace, and Paul Murphy, and Richard Boyd Barrett, and the rest of the people before Robert, because they make no effort to look respectable.
Right, well, I would be old-style conservative, and so if you enter into the Doyle, let's say, or you're going to a meeting or an interview, whatever the case might be...
You wear a suit.
I believe you should be wearing a suit, yes, suited and booted. Now, you're a man who doesn't wear a tie.
I've never wore a tie.
Did you wear a tie to our wedding?
I did, but I wore a tie at the wedding.
You did.
That was the only time.
But that was the only time, I believe, I've ever seen you in a tie. And fair enough, but you still looked presentable.
But you don't need to wear a tie. I mean,
well, you see, I'm old style conservative, as I said. I mean, I just cannot see myself going into the Dáil if I worked in the Dáil in a t-shirt and jeans. I just can't see myself doing it. It just wouldn't be in my business. It just wouldn't be in my being to do that. Mm. You know.
Yeah. So look, make the effort. Yeah,
effort. Yeah. I mean, earn it.
Yeah. Now the e-scooters was also back in the news there was like 5 kids in hospital at the same time with serious head trauma, and they were in ICU, and then you had a top neurologist come out to say that over 400 children attended children's hospital last year with head trauma from scooters, and they said it's the number one cause of head trauma in children is e-scooters.
And you know, my heart broke reading about that. Mm-mm. And that's 400 children in the Dublin area in last year alone in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Over 400 children were treated for those injuries. God only knows what sort of injuries they are. Now, you and I have many a time crossing the road, been nearly clipped by these things. They can go some ferocious speed. I actually came across a scooter once and my jaw dropped. It was a scooter with a man on it, but it had its own seat built onto it. Where I thought scooters traditionally, you know, you just stood up and...
Some of them have a seat you can screw into it. Yeah,
actually had a seat.
Yeah.
And your man is just flying down the road there in Fairview at least 40 miles an hour.
Mm.
And he's out doing everybody on the road.
Mm.
He's zigzagging, he's going from one lane to the other, Weaver Bird. Totally dangerous, no respect for rules and regulations on the road whatsoever. Shocking. But the medical experts are warning of an epidemic with this.
Should we ban them or just regulate them? I know the Green Party, they were the ones who pushed these stupid things in the first place.
Yeah.
But they were saying there should be regulation in relation to, you know, how they're sold. And now you've also got the Minister for State or whatever he was turned around and said that they should be taxed, licensed and insured. So I'd say go a step further. Just ban them. Ban the sale of them completely.
Okay, I think the Green Party's intentions were good at the time.
No, they weren't.
Because they were trying to get votes for themselves. But you know what? I say
there was no good intentions.
I have a message for the Green Party, okay?
You're gobshites.
No, it's not just that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go down that road. But what I will say
is... down that road.
When I was growing up in the early 80s, let's say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a great campaign about reduce, reuse and recycling. It kept things simple, it kept things realistic, and everyone could adhere to that, or at least try to do that. Now they've got bins for everything, they've got charges for everything, and they've got rules for everything, and it's costing everybody a flying fortune, you know. So yeah, I think anything that's over 35 miles an hour, or anything that goes past fast walking pace, should be taxed.
Yeah. Well, why don't I just get rid of them?
Well, getting rid of them would be better, but then you're going to put a lot of businesses out.
What businesses
cycle
should
shops.
We put now?
I mean, they're already struggling, aren't they? Oh. Isn't that what they've done? They vary their stock.
Yeah, but with the greatest respect, I don't care if Halfords are not making enough money if there's kids in hospital.
No, I know that. I know that.
It should never be about money.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think there should be an age limit if they're not going to ban them, there should be an age limit of minimum of 18, genuinely, because there are children out there, they've suffered terrible traumatic brain injuries because of this, you know, and over 400 of them in Dublin alone last year, as I say, ended up in Temple Street at the CHI unit.
Mm.
That's a shocking statistic.
Okay, so let's ban them.
Right, ban them.
See,
let's get rid.
I always get my way in the end.
You did. I do agree with you, but I'm trying to play the devil's advocate as well, you know.
Right, now this section of the show, by the way, is now called RTE is Shite. Okay, so that's this section of the show.
You know, listen.
Are you not getting involved in that?
I'm going to get involved in RTE.
We're just saying, with this section, can we just call this section of the show RTE is Shite?
Yeah.
Actually, we'll title this podcast RTE is Shite.
Well, if you wish.
Yeah.
If you wish.
Okay. So RTE is Shite.
Won't disagree with you.
Let's discuss this, right? So Kevin Backhurst is back with his cap in his hand after the government already gave them 750 million over 3 years.
Mm.
He's now back, cap in hand, looking for more dough. because they overspent last year because they didn't get enough money on television license because people don't want to pay it.
This is absolutely scandalous. It's outrageous. So basically, RTE told the PAC committee, I think it was, which they were in today. Today is Thursday, as we're recording, Thursday mm-hmm. evening. And they told the PAC committee earlier on today that they would be looking for direct state funding of 54.79 million this year, which is up from 41.3 million last year. This is just to top up the falling license revenue and meet its total funding needs.
So is this more money on top?
40 million.
Is this more money on top of the 750 that they've already got?
Exactly, because it's a shortfall and they're putting it down to lack of TV licenses being purchased.
Oh, fair play.
I reckon that their days are numbered anyway, but they're not going to be numbered as long as we keep bailing them out. And that's very unfair.
Do you think people have lost trust in them?
Of course. Sure, that goes.
Do you trust them? Do you ever watch RT News?
I do occasionally, yeah. I do.
By accident or like intentionally?
Well, I don't purposely watch RTE News because I think the vast majority of people nowadays get their news from elsewhere. They're too far behind. They're too slow for my liking. And you know me, I'm a media addict. Mm. I'm a news addict, so therefore I like to be on the
pod. So whatever's an RTE, you've read it already?
I've read it all. They're too slow. Far too slow. Far too slow.
And they come from a left-leaning position.
Yeah.
Well, just like the BBC, what's happened to all these media organisations? Because the RTE runs a good news service, and so are the BBC.
Well, I want to say this, right? Just since you're calling RTE the SH1T...
Will you? It's okay to say shite.
I'll say it to you in private. I'm not saying it on air.
Just say it. Say shite.
I might get into the habit of it, so I don't want to do that.
Go on.
Right, but anyway, okay, RTE is shite. Okay. Right, but
listen, the way you said
this
that,
comes.
Shite.
That's because you're making me aware of it.
Shite.
Okay, it's nerve-wracking enough as it is.
Go on.
Okay, now so this comes in the week that they have just re-signed Patrick Keilty as the new Late Late Show host.
Well, not the new Late Late Show host, the repeat
the
Late
next
Late.
Late Late Show host. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Pardon me. And this will be guaranteeing him his position now right in for the next 3 years.
Okay, so his last contract was for 2 years. This one is for three. So we've got him for even longer this time. Mm-hmm. He's getting paid a ridiculous amount of money and he's also getting expenses on top of that.
This is the interesting thing. You're saying he's getting paid a ridiculous amount of money. And of course, you're right. But as I said, RTE were in the PAC committee today, but they will not release the actual figure for his new contract. So I find that kind of suspect. The aerial goes up, pardon the pun. Mm. You know, he got a base salary of 250 grand there for every 30 episodes that he did.
Is that right for 30 days' work, isn't it?
It's not bad. When I think of how many episodes you do, it's absolutely incredible.
Jesus, imagine if we got 250,000 for every episode we did.
Wow, you know, what can I say, you know? And
Jesus.
And he wouldn't be a patch on you, as you know now.
Thanks very much, yeah.
Yeah, but now
you don't have to say that. By the way, I'm just saying
there was this deal done, according to Kevin Backhurst, that nobody would get paid more than him as the director general of RTE. Mm. You know, so that's
but
grand.
But the DG, so Kevin Backhurst, you're saying the deal was he would never pay anybody more than himself,
yes,
right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, that was mm-hmm. the deal, right? Mm-hmm. But he's just given himself a rise recently.
No, I can't confirm if he got that extra 20 grand rise. Mm. If he did. He did. I'm not aware of whether that has been confirmed and released yet, because there was some issue about that a couple of weeks back.
But the very fact that they were even talking about giving him a rise,
Jesus,
and giving anybody a rise,
about rises when the place is under,
and the place is losing money.
This is what I'm saying about having a business person running the country. Yeah. You would never get anybody who owns a business running it like that, and expecting to be rewarded on top of what you're already on, which is a colossal amount of money for the vast majority of people. Now, Patrick Keilty, good luck to him and all the rest. But he did get paid extras in.
He's a nice fella, by the way.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, but it's just not working. I mean, their listenership has dived.
I think I did what you did. And I think the vast majority of us did this when he took on the Late Late Show the first time. We all gave him the benefit of the doubt and actually hoped that he would be a really good presenter. And I think it became apparent after maybe the third or fourth episode of the Late Late Show that maybe he wasn't all that people thought he was going to be. You know, now
I didn't like the night that he was talking about free speech and he said, if you've got something to say, come on, say whatever the fuck you want or something. What was that he said?
And it took him over a year to actually say that. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because a talk show host in America had been fired.
over Donald Trump.
That's right, over comments to Donald Trump or about Donald Trump or whatever.
And it was—it's quite ironic that you have RTE are say putting out this thing that we're into free speech here. Come on the show and say whatever the fuck you want, right? Mm-hmm. That was the exact words he used. But yet they're the one place that you will not be allowed to say whatever the fuck you want. Because I know, and I've been on RTE so many times, and every single thing you say, they go through legals, it has to go through editorial.
Fine-tooth comb, it doesn't even enter into it.
You've no idea. Even when I was doing The Cutting Edge that time, there's a producer assigned to each guest. They go through everything you're going to say. There is nothing left to chance.
That's correct. And if you don't believe us, just believe us, because...
You will believe me. I've done it loads of times, yeah.
It's absolute fact. You're spot on. Anyway, getting back to this, the wage of $250,000 was paid for every 30 episodes or whatever. And in 2025, you received $266,000, which is about $16,000 more. And then in 2024...
Because it didn't include the toy show.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, wouldn't you imagine that his wages would include the toy show?
One would. Yeah, exactly. One would. You know, but here, this is what really got my goat going. RTE executives largely credited Patrick Keelty's new 3-year extension to his strong, in inverted commas, star power.
He hasn't got star power.
And engagement metrics online, which saw massive spikes, apparently.
Yeah, might have saw a few spikes on Instagram, but it didn't show spikes in viewership, because viewership is down.
You know,
and when you say star power, I don't think Keelty has star power. I mean, don't get me wrong. People know who he is.
I suppose. Well loved. I mean,
yeah. But he's not like Anton Deck or some sort of superstar.
He's probably a lovely guy. They're all lovely guys and lovely girls and everything else. But you know,
not all of them, in fairness.
Let's be frank about it. You would do a better job now, and not
I would.
That.
No, I would.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, you know me. I'm very critical. Mm. I am. I'm very good.
You're my number one complimenter and my number one critic.
I'm also your number one critic, absolutely, and not afraid to say so. But there you are. Anyway, that's why I just think it was very cheeky of RTE to come in and give your man an extra 3-year contract when they knew they were going into the PAC committee this week, or they were in it today.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's cheek. So I'm looking forward to playing that back, actually.
Okay, the other thing as well is the launch of the EU presidency.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
right.
God.
Okay.
Oh, I feel physically ill even thinking about it.
Well, what you're going to tell us all is that Ursula von der Leyen had a visit to us there. I think it was last week there on the 4th of July to launch the EU presidency. And she
Have you ever seen such a... Well, apart from the fact that Zelensky arrived over, he's another arsehole. But have you ever seen such a bunch of arseholes in the one place at the one time? So she arrives like the Queen. And, you know, Micheál brings her up this garden, wherever that was in Cork,
video. Yeah.
To shake hands with all
the ministers.
Them, all standing there like they were meeting Santa Claus.
They were actually salivating.
Oh, they were.
Their eyes lit up.
Do you think they were weeing themselves? Do you think they were weeing themselves?
Do you know, it's incredible because they've measured 100 times. I don't know whether they were weeing themselves, but they were certainly salivating at the beak. There's no doubt about that. You know, hello, you know, what job are you going to give me now? And, you know, when I get out of this department, that department, Ursula, you know, pat me on the back type.
And Micheál just looked awkward. Well, mind you, he looks awkward most of the time.
He does.
But he just looked kind of awkward beside her. At one stage, he kind of walked ahead of her by accident. And then he kind of stopped and kind of ushered her ahead of him. Do you remember Trump with the Queen that time?
Yeah, that was so funny.
I mean, that's protocol with the Queen. She's not the Queen. She's only the EU president. She's not even elected by anybody. So, I mean, she's nobody, really. You know what I mean?
You know, that actually, it was cringe to watch. Anyone who wants to see the video, it's available on YouTube. It's about 15 minutes long.
Awkward.
And Jesus, you'll get your eyes open.
Okay, but they brought out a commemorative coin.
They did. They brought out a commemorative €2 coin to mark Ireland's EU presidency. And Simon Harris, I believe, launched it. And he said that it marks an important milestone for Ireland's presidency of the Council of the European Union. Now, it's a lasting reminder of Ireland's role at the heart of Europe. Long after our presidency has concluded, this coin will continue to circulate across Europe. I hope it will serve as a reminder of Ireland's contribution to the European Union and the important work undertaken during our presidency. Now, I have a suggestion to make.
Yeah.
Or question to ask.
Yeah.
Why didn't they put Ursula von der Leyen's arse on the new coin?
Yeah, they should have, because they were all licking it. And then we could all lick the coin.
The logo is absolutely, it's crap. You know, it's
so if you put Ursula's arse on the coin... We could, like them, we could all lick her arse. Because that's what they were doing.
We know that they certainly will, that's for sure.
They'd be licking her
arse. They'll be doing it, yeah, absolutely, you know. But, I mean, for God's sake, you know, that's...
What, like a naked arse or just...
Who cares? Oh. I mean, it's
you could get a body double in to do the arse.
We're having a bit of banter here about it, but the coin itself, it's nothing to write home about. There are coin collectors out there that would faithfully do it. As you know, I've collected coins in my time.
You're James Bond. Coins.
My James Bond coins, yeah. I have a lovely selection
And you have
James
a Trump
Bond coins.
Coin. Yeah,
I have a few Trump coins, that's correct, yeah. I do indeed.
On a more serious note, and I'm going to keep this as brief as possible because we're limited by the information that we can actually give out. Mm-hmm. Jamie Carney, a young woman who was tragically murdered in Kerry, who shot the whole country. Now, I spoke to John McGurk in relation to this, and everybody's kind of going mad, like it's some sort of conspiracy that they're not allowed to release the name of the person who's the suspect. But the reason they can't is because of some silly legislation that we have since back in 2015 where asylum seekers can't be named publicly by the media if they're involved in anything. And that was originally brought... It was probably a well-intended piece of legislation. I have no idea why it was brought in. But unfortunately, it has ramifications.
It was brought in to virtue signal at the time. That's why it was brought in.
Probably.
And no other reason. It doesn't... It doesn't and it shouldn't be adhered to.
It hampers the Garda Síochána because normally they could look for the public's health or help, should I say, to find somebody if there's a manhunt.
The Gardaí are going to get tons of abuse over the head of this.
And they shouldn't. It's not their fault.
No.
No. And by the way, on this one occasion, I know people are giving out about RTE not talking about it either. It's not RTE's fault either. Okay,
but there are certain things you're limited to talking about.
Yeah, but now there is other information they could give out or can give out. Now, but the only thing I'll say is, either way, it wouldn't have mattered if the public could have helped because this guy, who is the main suspect, left the country.
Got a
12-hour head start before anybody even found the poor girl's body.
So for those of us who don't know, we're referring to Jamie Carney, a young 43-year-old American lady who lived in Killarney for the last couple of years. She used to visit regularly and made it her home. And she had a young teenage daughter.
This who found her body, by the way, can I say?
I just don't know how anybody, no matter what age they are, would feel if they walked home one night, walked into their home and found their mum there. Mm. The description of the room, which was publicly made available, was just unbelievable. So it's very clear that the poor woman did fight for her life and desperately tried to defend herself. She was, according to the official statement, she was discovered with bedclothes over her and had suffered severe head and neck injuries, amid indications that she may have fought desperately to defend herself. The room was heavily bloodstained. That paints a shocking picture. What's equally shocking is that the nation as a whole, and you can include me in that, and even you, I'm sure, Niall, are shocked that there would be no description whatsoever given of this guy publicly. Had that have been an Irish person, we know fine well your name would have been up in lights. Your face would have been on every billboard, every bus stop, every news flash. It's just outrageous. And the poor woman suffered an awful death. You know?
Sad part
about this, dear,
and I hope I am wrong,
yeah,
is that we may never see justice.
Because
we may never find this person.
Mm-hmm.
The police may never, the Garda Síochána may never find him. And even if they do, the difficulty will be bureaucratic, depending on what country he happens to be in.
Yeah.
Will they cooperate with the Irish authorities? Probably not.
No.
And even then, the only way to get him extradited, depending if we have an extradition treaty with that particular country or a country that he happens to be in, which is unlikely, would be for him to be charged before he's extradited. And that's not the way our justice system works. He would have to be questioned before he's charged. So it's a very complicated situation, more complex than I have knowledge of.
He'll have more protection than that poor daughter that she leaves behind.
Yep.
And that's the very sad thing also. Mm. She's a young woman. I believe she was big into supporting sports in her area and was a big supporter of Palestine, I believe, as well. The man, they say, has extensive contacts in the Turkey, Syria and Jordan region. Now,
according to the Irish Independent, he travelled on the first flight he could get to Turkey.
Yeah, Yeah, and so took him we 3 can't hours obviously to get to Dublin.
Yeah, we obviously can't identify where he's gone.
Yeah, we don't know the full timeline of when the guards actually found her. You know, but clearly your man knew what he was doing, did what he did.
And got out of there.
Got out of there fast and knew exactly where he was going to go next. And
okay,
I pray to God that he's caught.
Okay. Okay, well, certainly he's picked up for questioning because that's what they want to do. Okay, on a lighter note, let's kind of finish on a lighter note. And
oh, wow.
This is the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese.
Yeah, he's also known as Albo.
Albo.
The aficionados.
Yeah. Albo, yeah, yeah. So he found himself under a bit of fire. So what actually happened here?
Right, well, we're titling this little segment here Bunking Like Rabbits. It's a far cry from a lot of the stuff we've been talking about. It's almost as good as Ursula von der Leyen's bum. But anyway, Albo, or Anthony Albanese, he's the Australian Prime Minister. Now, the house where the Prime Minister lives is actually named The Lodge. So, in a nutshell, this comedian contacted Albo via direct message on Instagram and actually got a response asking to meet with him.
Female comedian.
A female comedian, okay.
Yeah, she does podcasts.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, so Nikki Osborne's her name, and this got her into the lodge where he resides, the official residence of the Prime Minister of Australia. So Albo's offer was, why don't you come to my joint and I'll give you the rundown over some Tim Tams. I assume that's some sort of a Australian kind of slang word or whatever.
Tim Tams.
Tim Tams, T-I-M-T-A-M-S. I've no idea what it means. But her plan, in her own words, was, let's get him pissed, and it worked. Now, I don't know whether she means in the alcoholic sense or in the let's like
get him annoyed.
Get him annoyed type of sense. But anyway, it worked. So he was asked, shag, marry or date with Kylie Minogue, Nicole Kidman and Rhonda Birchmore on the card. The Prime Minister held out for exactly one answer. He said, I've just got married. I'm only 6 months into the blooming marriage. So she pressed him on what happens if it all goes to quote her, I'll let you say the word.
Tits up.
That's right. So she pressed him on that. And he said, well, oh, Kylie, clearly. So in other words, he would shag Kylie, clearly, okay, out of them all. And then he said, the full set, all of the above, she's terrific. Like, you have to create.
Yeah, because she said, marry, shag, or bring on a date. And he said, all of the above.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, his wife is delighted.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he picked Kylie Minogue as his backup plan 6 months into his marriage. Now, an independent MP called Day Le, I think it is, told the Today Show that it was quite becoming of a gentleman. And it all landed the same day that a news poll had 2/3 of Queensland dissatisfied with him. So he's not only in trouble with his wife, he's in trouble with his electorate as well.
Right.
You know, so that's what you get, I suppose, for accepting DMs from strangers.
Here's the thing, and I'm not just saying it because you're my wife and you're sitting not too far away from me. I don't understand lads who are married, who are going, oh, I'm bleeding right. Look at her, oh, jeez, look at the hole on that one. Whoa.
Oh, God. You know, that's very curse talk, Niall.
I know, but I'm just saying, that's what they say. I wouldn't, like, why? I don't understand. Why would you be married?
Do you reckon Albo speaks like that when he's
with his mate eating the Tim Tams?
They're
biscuits. I just looked. They're biscuits.
God, I'm glad you did that because I said I'm going to have to do my homework. I didn't do my homework on this pod. Sorry,
Tim Tams are famous Australian chocolate biscuits.
Oh,
they're made
right.
of two crunchy melted biscuits with a chocolate creamy filling. They're like basically like a penguin bar.
Oh, I see.
Tim Tams.
Yeah. I'm not a lover of penguin.
But by the way, can I point out here, lads are not the only ones who do this. Women do this crack as well when they're married. Mm. Looking at other guys going, wouldn't mind giving him one.
There was a thing in England years ago, and I used to hear women doing it quite a lot, you know, and they'd go, you know what I mean? As someone was walking by, you know, and I'd be like, I'd be mortified. It just wasn't me. I suppose I'm not that type of girl, you know. But it's, I don't know. I mean, is this a wolf whistling equivalent or?
Yeah, I mean, if you were his wife now obviously this is very public.
Jeez, if I was his wife, I'd be very unhappy with him.
Yeah, because he just said he wouldn't mind shagging Kylie.
Listen,
publicly.
They're newlyweds. You don't do that.
No, he's publicly as well.
I mean, I don't know.
Whatever, keeping it in your own little head.
I don't even know how old the Prime Minister of Australia is, and I don't know how
long. He looks about 50.
I know he's only married 6 months, so we know that.
Yeah, he looks
but
about
I don't
50.
Know how long he's with his wife. When like before they get married, I don't know how long, because that
is little Sheila.
Oh yeah.
I'm with my little Sheila about 6 months. That's the worst Australian accent
actually,
ever.
That's not bad. Yeah. You didn't do too bad there.
Yeah, yeah. But and apart from anything else, here's the thing. Maybe it's just me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I never thought Kylie was that attractive.
Kylie.
She has a bit of a long face or something, isn't she? I don't want to be judging people here, but I can't.
Have you seen Kylie Minogue, with the exception of when she...
Was it Neighbours?
Besides Neighbours, yeah. Like, I mean, that was back in the late 80s, I think.
Yeah,
her and Jason O'Donovan.
But the two of them were kind of sex symbols at the time, weren't they?
At the time, yeah. And it was quite innocent. You know, they were like a young girl next door, boy next door, couple who fell in love, and everyone just wanted them to kiss and get married.
Mm.
And they eventually did on the programme.
To the song Suddenly.
That's right, yeah. But I believe she might be a fan of, or do you know who's actually a big fan of hers?
Who?
Leo Varadkar.
Well, that's right. Do you remember he said he had the Kylie Minogue socks or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And Leo seems to be getting about a bit lately, doesn't he?
What's going on with him?
I don't know, but he's kind of everywhere at the moment.
Yeah, he doesn't talk to me anymore.
I've heard him on, is that right?
Yeah, he used to text me.
Jesus, he used to be your best friend.
Yeah.
Well, okay, not your best friend.
Yeah, here's the thing.
He was quite
nice to me on numerous occasions by text, back and forward and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And he was wet. And then once I started asking him to run the podcast, he didn't want to answer me. Because he's afraid. He can go on to Matt Cooper's podcast and then ask him all the nice stuff.
Right there, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but he won't come on to mine.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to give him a hard time.
I know that. You're a very fair broadcaster.
And well, I would give him a bit of a hard time.
This is why people need to support you more.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you on that note, yeah.
You know, let's forget about giving RTE your
can we just put out? Can I finish putting out the thing? If Leo is listening, by the way, which he's not. Mm-hmm. Sure.
You never know.
Ah, he doesn't listen to me.
We could name this podcast after him.
No, we couldn't. Anyway, if he wants to come on, you know, I want to just talk about the crack, like. but I also do want to have a go at him over COVID and a few other things.
Well,
because he knows, you know that he knows, by the way, that it was all a, you know, well, the end. Paris
I will never forget.
Shot.
Wasn't it the 13th of March?
But he admitted himself. 2000? Leo said after the very end of it, we probably shouldn't have gone into the last lockdown.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this if you're listening, Leo, and I'm going to tell you this straight up, okay? Yeah. And I don't know whether this is going to go out on air or not, but I'm going to chance my arm anyway, and I'm going to say
Say it.
Well, I would say it to him anyway if I ever got the chance to speak to him, you know? But I have never come across somebody who has pre-mapped out their career as well as you have.
Mm.
It is incredible for such a young man to have been...
Is that a well done, or are you being cynical?
No, I think it's so conniving.
I really do,
yeah, but hats off to him, he's done it. And he's made for life financially.
Well, so like, I'll be a TD, I'll get the job as Taoiseach, and then I'm out of here.
He was a doctor. He decided to change careers. Look at what he's done.
It didn't take him long to become the Taoiseach of the country.
No, and, you know, wow.
And then as soon as he finished being the Taoiseach, I'm out of here.
There you go.
I'm gone.
Pensions
I'm going to make a fortune
life.
Selling books, doing speeches, mm-hmm. going to colleges.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Are you jealous?
Absolutely not. Are you joking me?
No, I'm just saying, like, would you like to be doing that kind of stuff? Selling books and going around to colleges and speeches? And
would I like to do that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that would be regarding...
They give me money, like.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
To give me money, I'll do it. I'll do anything to give me money. I'll even get
to
the station to take my clothes off.
Let's be honest.
I'll take my clothes off.
You know, you wouldn't.
Wouldn't I?
No, you wouldn't. Would you?
How much are we talking? Anyway, look, on that note.
Let's behave ourselves.
Yeah, maybe we should call this episode Keep Your Clothes On.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, listen, thank you, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it. And we should be back again for next week's roundup. In the interim, have a nice weekend. Finish your weekend off nicely. I don't know what day this is probably going to be out. I don't know, maybe over the weekend at some point. So have a nice weekend. We'll talk to you again next week. And don't forget to listen to the show Monday to Thursday at 12 o'clock live on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else.
Bye.
Talk to you.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.